Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Here in our studios this afternoon, we have with us a newcomer to Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'd like to introduce him to you right now without any further ado. His name is Herb Tyler. Good afternoon, Herb.
Good afternoon.
Now, Herb, just exactly why are you in Fairbanks right now?
Well, I'm here on the interest of a movement known as Youth for Christ International, a movement to reach the young people with a real live program of religious nature, but of an interchurch nature.
Mm-hmm, I see. And how are you carrying that out right here in Fairbanks? Are you having a series of meetings?
Well, yes, really a promotional series of meetings here, not typical rallies, but I met with the combined group of all churches, or most of the churches in Fairbanks, on Wednesday night at the Baptist Church here in town, and then last night we met with another group, or with similar group, I should say, at the Nazarene Church, and tonight I'm going to be at the Assembly of God Church. So we're just jumping from one place to another.
And you'll be at the Assembly of God Church tonight. What time is the meeting scheduled for tonight?
About 8 o'clock.
Around 8 o'clock, I see. Well, I understand also, Herb, that you've had quite an experience during the last year or two. I understand you've not only traveled extensively in the States, but also in European countries and across on the other side of the Atlantic.
That's right. It has been my privilege to do some traveling in the last 2 and 3 years in the interest of Youth for Christ and then personally as well.
And how about your European trip? When did that begin and where did you go and how about an itinerary of it?
I left Portland, Oregon on one of our great airliners on the 7th of August and didn't get back until after the 1st of October. And this took me into 12 countries of Western Europe, including 3 zones of Germany. In fact, I only missed Portugal, which is as far as the Western countries of Europe is concerned, and I feel like I ought to apologize to them for that.
I see. Well, Herb, you mentioned being in the 3 zones of Germany now, and also throughout Western Europe. Now, we here on KFAR have had quite a lot to do with the reading of care commercials lately on practically any or all of our newscasts. Our listeners have been listening to send in money to Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe, and we also give the address along with it. I wonder, did you see care in action at all in your travels?
I certainly did, and I certainly saw its need.
You did.
I had sort of taken a universal negative attitude toward my phase of responsibility until I saw people who are just literally living by their care packages. I saw people that care packages means more to them than a $1,000 bill would mean to you and I. Now, that's hard to understand, but it is the truth. People over there who haven't anything to eat, or if they do, for instance, there are commodities in that care package, and you know them, and I do too, but not going into that, but when you stop to think of people eating the black rotten cabbage half cooked, and the few potatoes they get are just partially cooked because there isn't the fuel, and then the only meat I saw outside of relief headquarters and from the care packages was nothing but blood sausage, and it isn't a very appetizing meal those poor folks have to have.
I'm afraid most of us here in the comforts of our own home wouldn't call that a very appetizing meal at all. Well, is this condition quite prevalent throughout Europe? Is the need stronger any one place than any other place?
Well, I think more than any other place, the need is great in the German territory, practically most particularly in the French zone. All 3 zones of Germany have suffered, of course, so terribly that their crops and their own provisions have been almost to a negative and a nil standpoint. And so, therefore, they have to live on what is shipped in. France needs help, too, and we are doing a great job in sending the wheat for their white bread and all. So does Italy. Switzerland, of course, has its own commodities and has a stabilized economic system. But Belgium and France and Italy, and particularly Germany, of course, over even on the British Isles, and the food is pretty tough there, too.
I see. Just going a little bit, perhaps, into the political side of it, how does the American military government seem to be working out from the standpoint of the United States in the German zone?
They, I believe, have found a real reception in the hearts of the German people.
You find the
German people are very glad to cooperate. I see them working in hotels. Our fellows have gone in, and instead of taking all of the jobs, they have provided training schools, and the German youth and adults as well have been utilized. For instance, German girls are waiting on all the tables in our Army tourist mess, as they call the hotel facilities, mm-hmm. and also in the hotels where we stay, the desk clerks and the chambermaids and all are German personnel, and they are most cordial to carry your cases and to serve you at the table and to do everything they can to making connection on long-distance phone calls. I'm just naming some of the things that was my experience, uh-huh. and they just seemed to go overboard to help you in any way they could. For instance, I asked two young ladies one time, or not too young at that, they possibly were 30, 35, I asked them where the Bahnhof, or depot, was, mm-hmm. and they quickly just reached over and took my two cases that I had with me and said, "We will show you," and away they went, and they didn't stop until they set my suitcases right down on the steps of the railroad depot and then pointed to it, and they wouldn't even receive and accept a tip. I had to almost force them to take a tip that I have, a few marks that I offered them. They were so anxious to help.
That's quite a reception, isn't it? And Herb, you, in your travels, felt that was really coming from the heart rather than an effrontery, so to speak.
Absolutely. Of course, if I'd had room, I could have brought back hundreds of Germans that would have liked to come to this country because they've heard so many glowing reports and they've seen our fellows over there with our happy, courageous attitude, and they would like to come over, but at the same time, I believe that they are, as a general rule, anxious in Europe today to find a mutual meeting ground with the Western empires and Western countries that have fought them a few months ago. I believe they're making an honest effort, especially amongst the young people, to bridge that gulf.
Mm-hmm, I see. A moment ago you said you got into the three of the zones in the German sector of Berlin. I assume that means you didn't get into one of them.
That's right.
Is that right?
I could have gotten into the Russian zone when I applied for my permits for the other zones. They said, "Well, now, do you want to get into Russian zone?" I said, "Well, yes, if I can. Is it all right?" They said, "Well, you can get in, but we don't know about you getting out." So
I
think that settles it. I stayed out.
Fine. Now, something else that comes to mind, Herb, is over there. Now, you were talking, I'd be a little more interested to know, and I think our listeners would too, in about the living conditions. You mentioned a bit ago that they were living in cardboard. How'd you say that?
Well, I think I had reference at that time to Italy.
Oh, that
and,
was in Italy.
Down in Italy, I saw some of 200,000 people in Naples, Italy alone that have no homes at all. Now, when I say no homes, I don't mean that they have been moved out because of war or flood damage or some other reason and have a government that can provide for them facilities, but these people are absolutely homeless. They are perhaps living in a cardboard shelter, or they're living in a old bomb pit or a pillbox. Maybe it's just a cave that has been blown out by the shore batteries of our naval warfare in the past months, and maybe they're sleeping alongside the railroad. Maybe they climb onto a boxcar and the whole families will spend days on a boxcar until they are thrown off. Maybe when they're thrown off, they're many miles away and have no way of getting back, but they're absolutely homeless. And it wasn't certainly a nice thing to look at, I'll tell
you. I can imagine, not at all. And that's one reason, one good reason why the people that are listening to this broadcast can send into care, isn't it?
That's right.
To help people out.
That's right.
What would you suggest as being the best way? Suppose they had relatives over there. How about the people that do have relatives and those that don't? What are the best ways for each of them to send?
Well, I suggest that they send their package to that individual. Make it an individual gift. I think it'll mm-hmm. mean more over there. And at the same time, it alleviates a danger from the standpoint of care of duplicating, and either that or give through one of the active religious organizations like the Friends or the Mennonites or some of the other groups that are actively working with care in the adequate distribution of the gifts. Therefore, not one family gets it all, but they are it proportioned and helped in a community. The groups over there that I saw acting in this regard are doing a splendid job in the distribution.
Well, they took it upon themselves. Is it through their own efforts and they're backing themselves too? For instance, the Mennonites are sponsoring themselves over there.
Absolutely, yeah, they do.
That's their service mm-hmm. for world peace, you might
That's
say.
That's right.
To mm-hmm. further along that cause. Something else that comes to mind again, Herb. Now, I'd like to skip back to the question of Germany once again, and that's this. You were over there, let's see, you were over there through through in October.
About 2 months. 2 months in the European continent.
About 2 months in the European continent. Were you there at the time either of the currency exchange problem in Berlin, or
I was there just after the currency had made the exchange. People were still recovering. Well, I think it can be summed up this way: before the exchange, then people had money, but there was no merchandise to buy. Since the exchange, there's merchandise in the windows, and there's not enough money to buy it. But of course, that's stabilizing the thing, because the people then can go out and make the money, and their merchandise is there if they can get it, if they can afford it. It's better than that than to have an inflation of lots of money, a pocket full of money, and nothing at all to buy. And of course, that of course builds up the black market, because the commodities then reach a high price, because the folks will have to spend that money for it.
I see. Did that currency exchange difficulty affect you at all as a traveler through Germany?
No, not at all. We found no. Of course, there was black markets on the streets of all European cities, but we found it best to leave alone those black markets altogether, and we found ourselves financially better off.
I see. And long about that same time, they had the... No, since then, they had the election in Berlin. You weren't there to witness the election.
No, I wasn't.
Where did you go when you left Europe, Herb?
Well, I've come back to this country and traveled in through the eastern part of Canada, and then down through the United States and back out to the West Coast. I've covered a good many thousand miles since I got back, and then I come back up into Alaska, my first trip to Alaska.
This is your first time in Alaska?
That's right.
Well, what are your views and opinions about Alaska?
They certainly have changed. I expected nothing but igloos and sourdoughs and snowshoes, but I discovered that there's people up here just as well as there are other places in the world. And I've had some interesting experiences, and all of them have been very pleasant. I did get snowbound in Kenai and couldn't get out, but after that got straightened out, then we made it all right.
Fine and dandy. And how long do you plan to be up here in Alaska, then?
Well, I'll be leaving tomorrow morning, if I can get
Fairbanks.
Out. Leaving Fairbanks, and then I go to Juneau and Ketchikan. And just how long I'll be tied up down there, I don't know. But I'll probably hear till about the end of the month.
And, of course, along with your mission up here in Alaska, you're also trying to see as much of the country and as many things as you possibly can,
That's
aren't
right.
you? Good. Well, I certainly have enjoyed talking with you this afternoon, Herb, and I want to thank you very much for dropping up to our studios and giving us these very interesting sidelights on your trip this last summer throughout Europe as well as through the United States. And just before you leave, I'd like to remind the ladies and gentlemen in our listening audience that Herb Tyler, with whom we have been talking for the past few moments, will make the final appearance tonight here in Fairbanks in the movement for which he is representing. That's the Youth for Christ movement, and it starts at 8 o'clock tonight. And Herb, where is it?
It's in the Assembly of God Church.
It's in the Assembly of God Church.
I think that's
tonight.
Down about 3rd and Noble, and might I say I'm giving a complete public report on Germany tonight.
Well, there's a very, very good reason for going down to the Assembly of God Church tonight to hear Herb Tyler speak at 8 o'clock. And Herb, again, on behalf of the station and staff, I'd like to thank you very much for dropping up this afternoon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. Bye.